Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia. Our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable, is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental.
Well, I thought I'd bring up, just to start, we'd already talked about it, but became official last night with the tax levy and no increase to the tax levy. So, you know, like I said, we'd already talked about it. You'd already made that decision, but became official last night. So definitely save taxpayers any increase.
Yeah, I mean, and we're happy to be in that situation to do it again. Sound fiscal responsibility at the city allows us to do that. You know, and again, we're trying to lower the burden as much as we can. We've kept the rate the same for the last 2 years. It also means your rate goes down because obviously each year your property assessment typically goes up. So as a rate, your tax rate actually goes down, even though from the city it's a zero, dollar increase. So yeah, happy to do that. We end up having to have a special meeting last night just because of the levy. We wanted to get it filed. There was another matter involving our business district that we had to file some amended paperwork with the Illinois Department of Revenue, and with the holidays coming up, we just want to make sure all that got done in a timely manner. So we ended up calling a special meeting last night, relatively short, and we'll have a regular meeting next week, which the second meeting of the month typically is a little longer because we have our engineer, we have our financial reports. So again, just had a short meeting last night to clean up a couple things to make sure we got it done before the holidays kick in.
So did want to touch on, I know a lot of folks had gotten a letter from the insurance company with the city when it came to the situation with the oil situation back several months ago. And I know you guys were going to kind of clear up some language and talk about that a little bit to fix it going forward.
Yeah, so again, going back when that situation happened, we asked the people to provide their information to the city. I think, I can't remember the exact number, but it was close to 200 people. It sent some information regarding damages that they had incurred, and then we said we were turning it over to our insurance company. We did that. There was an additional form that had to be completed to be filled out, sent to the insurance company so they could kind of start their claim process. I think at the end of the day, only 40 of those were received, and so the letter you're referencing was the insurance company's, decision, and based on, their findings, they find that there was no liability and, that the claims were going to be denied. But in that letter, there was reference to the vendor that, provided the oil and provided, the rock. And in essence, it said, that they had made that decision, and that was not accurate. And so we're asking the insurance company to kind of clarify that language. And so the way this really happened was, both the oil and the rock, those are all kind of let through IDOT. So there's a bid process out there. And so, that selection, those are actually done at the city, not necessarily the vendor. And, and unfortunately the letter, it didn't place blame on them, but said, hey, here's the vendor. You can maybe reach out to them and, have them check with their insurance company. Not ideal situation. So, obviously, they expressed concern in the way the letter was written. We reached out, Letitia talked to the RMA, which is our insurance provider today. We are going to clarify that language and kind of release an official statement with regards to actually how the process works. And again, to clarify any misunderstanding. Again, unfortunately, at the end of the day, it doesn't change the decision. But again, we want to clarify the language as much as we can and be as clear as how that process worked.
I know there were some comments made when people saw the letter of, your name wasn't on it as mayor, but the bottom line was you turned it over to the insurance company. And that's why you have an insurance to handle it.
Well, again, and the letter itself is actually from the insurance company. So the reason Letitia's name was on there is Letitia is the insurance coordinator for the city. I mean, so she was really, when you see her name at the bottom of the letter, that's a CC. It's like if I work at a bank and I write a letter to a customer, and but there's another party that I want included as part of the correspondence, you CC them on the bottom of the letter. So that's all it really was. I mean, my name could have been on there, but again, the letter was really from the insurance company, and Letitia was copied on the letter because, again, she is the insurance coordinator for the city of Vandalia.
So, changing to another topic, made a change last night that'll go into effect in the spring when it comes to Vandalia Lake Lots. So, it's something that's gonna be in the future.
Yeah. So, this discussion's been going on for a while, and this is in regards to sale of lake lots. And so, what's happened historically in the past, January 1st, if you're interested in a lake lot in the city of Vandalia, then you put your name on a list. You know, because we don't allow the listing of these through a realtor, right? There's a process, you know, if you want to sell your lake lot, you notify the city and then you go to this list and, you know, I don't know the specifics of it, but I think, you know, you go through 10 people after a certain period of time and then you go to the next 10. So there's been discussion for a long time about changing that process. As you can tell, that's a very manual, hands-on process. And so we're really trying to automate that more. So what's going to happen then? What we passed last night is the change in the ordinance, and the change in the ordinance is going to say that basically, you know, those are going to be listed on our city's website. And, you know, if you are interested, then, you know, in essence, you can notify the city, and we're going to change it to where city residents kind of get first choice. And then once the city, there's going to be a period of time, I think it's 10 days again, after that period, then it would go to the county residents and then ultimately open it up to people outside of the area. The whole point of it is we're trying to automate it to get it away from where we got to keep lists. Am I on the list? Am I not? Again, give city residents the first chance to it. But we want to make sure that the process is done correctly and efficiently as we can. So we passed the ordinance, but it's not going to be effective until May 1st. That gives Carla and her team, you know, a chance to fine tune the system to make sure we're ready to go on May 1st. And then at the same time, I think we'll have some announcements coming up soon about changing our website, updating our website, even potentially using and developing a city app. So again, the whole point of this is to become more efficient so people, you know, don't have to come into City Hall. They don't have to call City Hall if they don't want to, that, you know, they can electronically, you know, get their name on the list.
And that has been something that, you know, over the past couple of years, I think the city has definitely done a good job, you know, getting away from that more and more with things.
Oh yeah. That's the point. We've talked about it, I think, in a previous podcast. You know, we are looking at and going to a pay system where, you know, if I want to pay my water bill or if I've got a lake lot or if I, you know, I got a boat license, that I will have an account set up online. I can go on the online portal and make all those payments. Again, sometimes people work and they don't have the luxury of coming in during business hours, you know, right? And again, I work in a bank and you know, we see this too. I can do more stuff on my phone now from a banking, you know, perspective than I ever could, obviously 30 years ago. And that's just the way the world's going. So our ultimate goal is to, again, try to make it as efficient for everybody as possible and ultimately drive down costs. Again, if we don't have to process as much paperwork and, you know, as much customer interaction, it makes government run more efficient. More efficient translates into savings.
So I got to thinking about something today too, and I know the Y posted some things that they're working on kind of down the road. And you know, it's not been that long ago that Evans Public Library had their brand new building, the hospital with their new addition. So there's been people don't always think about it because you live here and you're with it every day. You're jaded a little bit, but there's been a lot of bigger things like that have happened over the last couple of years.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think for a community our size, you just do the math, right? I think the library was north of $5 million. You know, I think the Y, all those improvements that they've done that Ben and his team have been working on out there is a couple million. And that doesn't include what they're, you know, what that released yesterday, what Unity Park, what a wonderful, you know, possibility that's going to be. You know, the library, the hospital, again, $15 million medical office building just opened up. The Forging Our Future in the school with all the things, you know, that they have done. You know, they've spent well over, you know, a couple of $1 million. So you start adding that up and then you throw a $26 million water treatment plant that the city's involved in right now. You know, that's, we're well over, you know, we're over $50 million of capital improvements in a community of our size just in the last, you know, call it 3 years. That's significant. And, you know, I'm optimistic about other things that are the potential for 2026 because, you know, we've teased it and I'll have more information after the first of the year. But, you know, we are a lot of the governing bodies, you know, we're looking at working together, collaborating, trying to, you know, work together versus having five or six individual separate groups going out looking to try to fund projects. We're, you know, kind of trying to unite and come together, you know, support one another and encourage additional investment. So, yeah, it's I couldn't be more excited about, you know, what has happened and again, more excited about what's to come.
You know, and I know people look at things and well, people are always looking for things. We know that. But I think what we've just talked about, if you look at that and say, hey, there's a lot of people investing a lot of money here. Whether it comes to the hospital, it comes whatever, whether it's a city or it's outside interest, there's a lot of people investing a lot of money here.
Oh, yeah, and it comes down to quality of life. I mean, that's what we have to promote. We've had this conversation, you and I, many times about, yeah, in a perfect world, you go out and you find a factory where you find 100 and 150 jobs or 200, whatever the case may be. The reality is our quality of life here is very good, and that's what will eventually attract not only people to live here, which because again, if we did land one of those larger factories or tried to, do we have the workforce, right? And so what comes first? Well, I think the quality of life we have here is very, very good. And again, the examples we just talked about are all just indications of the future and what can come just because people believe in the community. I mean, for Sarah Bush Lincoln to believe in the Vandalia community enough to say we are going to invest $15 million and a medical office building is huge. And the people that have the vision for the library, again, it was grant funded, but people had to lead that charge. They believed in the library and the importance of it and the why and what Ben does there. I used to be on the why board and just the impact, you know, he shared with us at a meeting, you know, a few months ago, I believe, what their annual impact study was and the number of kids and families that go through there, not just kids. You know, it's the older population as well. You know, and again, the school, those are all the things that people look at when they're looking to locate to a community. Education, parks, and yeah, I even talked about the park and all that's going on there. So you've got education, you got healthcare, you got parks. All of those things are important to try to promote your city, to improve quality of life, and make it attractive to people to locate here.
Again, thank you for listening to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia with Mayor Doug Knable. This podcast is brought to you in part by F&B Community Bank, Heck Chevrolet, Joe's Pizza and Pasta in Vandalia, and Kaskaskia Supply and Rental. You can find all of our podcasts under our podcast tab on our website at VandaliaRadio.com.